So Jesus is talking about gifts to our children. When our children ask for something, God is even better than us. And if we ask for the Holy Spirit, He's going to give us that. We can expect that God will give us the gift of the Holy Spirit. John, we're going to look at John 1. John 1, verse 29 through 33. John 1. So we're talking about this morning the gift of the Holy Spirit. Who will give the Holy Spirit? When you get saved, you have the Holy Spirit in you automatically by salvation. Jesus comes in. But there's another gift, another blessing on top of that God wants to bless us with, called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so Jesus talked about it, or the Word of God talks about it, and John the Baptist mentions it. Here we are, John 1, 29 through 33. The next day, John saw Jesus, that's John the Baptist, saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, He is the one I was talking about when I said, 'A man is coming after me who is far greater than I am, for he existed long before me. I did not recognize him as the Messiah, but I have been baptizing with water so that he might be revealed to Israel.'" Verse 32, "Then John testified, 'I saw the Holy Spirit descending like a dove from heaven and resting upon him. I didn't know he was the one, but when God sent me to baptize with water, he told me, the one on whom you see the Spirit descend and rest is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.'" There's something that Jesus wants to do. He wants to baptize us with the Holy Spirit. Something wonderful and powerful. But before I get into that, receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I want us to look at a few things first to give us the right perspective on what God is doing and why we even need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. What's it all about? What's it for? So I'd like to remind all of us this morning that we're in a crucial time in our walk with God in this church. I want us to think about, when should we really get on fire for God? When should this church really go for God? When should I start preaching it hot and going for God and preaching hard? Should we wait till we're 500 people? Then we get on fire for God? Then that's the point when we're really going to be cooking for God, right?
No.
When should we do it? Now. We should be cooking for God now. On fire for God now. Not holding back even now. I want to be all in for God. Hallelujah. I know you do too. So praise God. We want to be all in for God. So we're in something called an exchange zone. All right? How many remember that sermon from a couple weeks ago where I talked about the fact that we are all in a divine relay race? We are responsible for this generation of souls. It's our job to pass on the truth and gospel of Jesus Christ to this generation. We are one generation away from people no longer knowing about God. The scripture we used was Hebrews 12:1. Says this, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that easily trips us up. Let us run with endurance the race God has set before us." So remember, he says there's a great cloud of witnesses. So there was people before us serving God. And just like there's people before us, there's going to be people after us. And so we want to be faithful to pass the baton from our generation to this generation, the Word of God. We want to be faithful. And so there's a certain place within a relay race, if you ever watch relay races, where the runner runs, running. Now there's another runner waiting up ahead. And he gets to that runner, this guy's getting tired, and he has a baton, he passes it on to the next runner, and he starts running so that he can have some, and then he's fresh. So he gets it into that hand of that runner, and then he takes off. He's got some fresh energy. Boom! Look at him go. From strength to strength. And we can do that as a church. We're going to move from strength to strength, not messing up. So as they hand that baton, you only got a certain space that you can hand that off. If you're outside of that little space, you're disqualified. Or if you drop the baton, you're disqualified. And as I mentioned, a lot of churches have been disqualified. They've dropped the baton over the past. But we don't want to be like that. We want to go from strength to strength. We want to be faithful. Pass that baton to the next generation, to this generation of souls. So I like that. I like that example. And so that runner has to get that baton into the next person's hand. The disciples are now in the race of passing on the baton of salvation they received from Jesus. So these disciples, Jesus passed the baton to them. Here's the baton of salvation. I did it all. I paid the price. And even, however, though the baton was ready to be passed on, they still needed something from God to pass on the baton with the greatest success. What did Jesus tell his disciples to do before he went to heaven? Let's look at Luke 24, 35 through 53. Luke 24, if you have your Bible, if you want to look in there. Luke 24, it's towards the end of Luke, so it must be right before he went to heaven. All right, Luke 24, 35 through 53. If you follow along, here we go. 35. Then the two from Emmaus told their story of how Jesus had appeared to them as they were walking along the road, and how they had recognized him as he was breaking the bread. And just as they were telling about it, Jesus himself was suddenly standing there among them. Peace be with you, he said. But the whole group was scared, was startled and frightened. They thinking they were seeing a ghost. Why are you frightened? He asked. Why are your hearts filled with doubt? Look at my hands. Look at my feet. You can see that it's really me. Touch me. Make sure that I'm not a ghost, because ghosts don't have bodies, as you see that I do. As he spoke, he showed them his hands and his feet. Still, they stood there in disbelief, filled with joy and wonder. Then he asked them, do you have anything here to eat? They gave him a piece of broiled fish. There you go, Tom. Fish. Even Jesus liked fish. And he ate it as they watched. Then he said, when I was with you before, I told you that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said, yes, it was written long ago that the Messiah would suffer and die and rise from the dead on the third day. It was also written that this message would be proclaimed in the authority of his name to all nations. There's the passing of the baton. Beginning in Jerusalem, there is forgiveness of sins for all who repent. You are witnesses of all these things. And now I will send the Holy Spirit, just as my Father promised. But stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven. Glory. Hallelujah. How many want that filling? Jesus is telling the disciples, he's just about ready to leave. He's just about ready to take off and leave this world and go to be with the Father. Jesus had just passed the baton to these 11 men. He was endued with power from on high when a dove came and landed on Jesus right after he was water baptized. Remember we read that? He told John the Baptist, the one on whom you see the dove land, that's my son. That dove was the Holy Spirit. It landed on Jesus. He was endued with power from on high. He didn't minister in his own power. He ministered in the power of the Holy Spirit. Praise God. We as a church are called by God to pass on the truth of God to this generation. We're an effective church. God will make us effective if we obey his commands. From the scripture, we can see three things that Jesus gave the disciples. From this scripture in Luke, we're going to look at three things that Jesus gave them to understand and to walk this out. I think it's important to understand that we aren't living out something that man started. The Church of Jesus Christ is a God idea. It's a God idea that was started by God, for God, and with God. The idea of the church of God on the earth is God's plan. We get to be a part of God's plan if we're born again. Now, as a result of being born of God, we have a connection to God, and we have been studying that all along in the last two Sundays. We have a connection to God by the Holy Spirit. All right? But today, we're looking into the added blessing of having God's special gift called the baptism of the Holy Spirit in our life as followers of Jesus. All right? So we're looking at that blessing and what it is and how to have the blessing. First, I want to take a look a little deeper into what Jesus said to these disciples just before he went back to heaven. In Jesus' final instructions, there were three essentials Jesus left with them if they're going to be passing on the baton that Jesus was passing on to them. And we need also to understand what those three things are. All right? So Jesus is just about to, this is it. He's about to go. They're never going to see him again. They were amazed they ever got to see him again anyway. They thought this was over. They thought Jesus was toast. But here he is. Boom! Could you imagine if Jesus appeared right here? We'd freak out. And here he was. He goes, this is my last. I says, this is it, guys. I'm out of here. And you ever had, maybe you've been at someone in a deathbed, in a hospital or home, and they're about ready to die, and they want to say a last word to you. I mean, if that person's dying and they have something to say, that's the moment to lean in. You're going to lean in to what is this? What does my dad or grandpa have to say? I want to hear what he has. This is it. He's gone. This is important. So he's saying, lean in, guys. Lean into me. This is what I'm telling you. And so the first thing I see that Jesus talks about, number one, was proclamation. Telling others God's will was that the message of the gospel would be preached to all nations. Verse 47. This is what Jesus said. He said, it was also written that this message would be proclaimed in the authority of his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. God's greatest desire for all humanity is that the message of the gospel, the good news, will be preached to all nations. That's his heart. We need to take the power of God for proclamation, for telling of the good news. We need the power of God to be able to pass the baton on to the next generation. As your pastor, we need to have a greater emphasis on missions and reaching not only the lost in St. Cloud, but all around the world. It's God's heart to see people everywhere have the opportunity to know about God's great salvation. Every week, we make it a goal of Relevant Life Church to offer the opportunity to accept Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. So if you're here today and you don't know the Lord, we'll have an opportunity at the end of the service to do that. So missions is huge. And we were at River Valley Church in Apple Valley, Minnesota. It's a huge church, Assembly God Church. And the pastor was in Africa. And an African missionary, a leader in that country, had a word from God for him. And he said, God has told me that you are to raise up 500 missionaries out of your church. And they have that goal. It rung with that pastor's heart. Rob Ketterling, who used to be a youth pastor here eons ago at this church when it was good news. Anyway, he told his church, this is our goal as a church, to raise up 500 missionaries from their own church. And I believe we can raise up missionaries from our own church. And so be ready. God's calling some of you. Hallelujah. Because we're to bring the gospel. We're to pass the baton to the next generation. All right. So praise God. That's God's heart, to pass the word. Number two, the second thing Jesus talked about was perception. That we would understand what the message is that God wants us to proclaim. What is it? Perception means understanding or seeing or knowing, realizing that message. What is that message? And this is it, verse 47. There is forgiveness of sins for all who repent. That's the message. That's the gospel message of Jesus Christ. It's not complicated. That's what the baton is. The baton is a lightweight tube. It's aluminum. I got this one here. It was just from a paper towel, this end of the paper towel. But it looks like a baton. And in the race, that baton is simple. It's lightweight. The gospel is simple. It's lightweight. It isn't a burden. Jesus said, come to me, all you are heavy laden and burdened. I will give you rest. Trade this burden for a light, for the things that are light through Jesus Christ. So God has given us a message of forgiveness for all who repent. Eternal souls depend on this good news. There's no other message that has the ability to save a soul. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the only message that could get you right with God. I didn't invent it. God did. All right. The subject today is the Holy Spirit is the grace from God that we receive that we might be able to tell others the good news of Jesus Christ. The third thing he talked about was power. The final instruction from Jesus to his followers, as they're leaning in, this is it. He's about ready to go. Jesus would empower them with the ability to proclaim the message of God for all people for all time. The name of this message is the baptism in the Holy Spirit, the power to proclaim. That's the title of this message. I'm calling it part one. And now I will send the Holy Spirit, just as my Father promised, but stay here in the city. This is verse 49 of what we just read in Luke. And now I will send the Holy Spirit, Jesus is saying, just as my Father promised, but stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That same power is available today. I had another scripture I wanted to read. Along with that, and I didn't put it so Catherine doesn't have it on the screen, but Acts 1, if you have your Bible, Acts 1, verse 4. Jesus is talking the same thing. He says, once when he was eating with them, he commanded them, do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised. This is that same word. As I told you before, John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Again, in verse 7, Jesus talks about it. And he replied, the Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times. They're saying, well, when are you going to come back, Jesus? Jesus said the Father alone has the authority to set the dates and times, and they are not for you to know. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. There it is, telling people about me everywhere. You will pass the baton of God's salvation to people everywhere. We are in a critical time in this body of Christ. We're here to pass the baton. We're not here going to drop it. We're not going to fail. We're not going to fumble. We're not going to get sloppy. We're going to stay at it. We're going to be successful. Remember the Olympic team? They were the fastest team for, they're the fastest team on paper. The U.S. Olympic team should have taken the gold. Several Olympic sessions in a row, but they didn't. Even though they were the fastest, the strongest, had it all together, they failed because they dropped the baton, or they got sloppy, or they messed up. We got to be careful. Even though we have all the power, all the strength, all the ability, we need to be careful, not get sloppy, to stay at our game, to stay on top of it, to lay aside, he says, keep our focus on Jesus, to lay aside all those weights and things that want to distract us, that trip us up. Hallelujah. Praise God. So, until Jesus comes back, the Church of Jesus will always be in a time of passing the baton of God's salvation to this generation. Are we ready to pass on the message of Jesus to this generation all around this city, neighborhood, or even our family? Are we going to keep going from strength to strength, or are we going to drop the baton and be disqualified? God has given us all we need to get it done. He has provided a way for us to have the power to complete his will. God isn't telling us to muster up all you can and get out there. He's saying, just suck it up. Pull yourself up by the bootstraps. You know, don't be wimpy wimpy. You know, like the guys at work used to say, if someone's complaining about something, they say, oh, just put your purse down and get to work. You know, they tell each other that. God's not saying that. He's saying, I got the power you need. You know, it isn't a matter of just sucking it up and trying harder next time. No, it's waiting for the power of God on your life. All right, I want to share a couple stories to help illustrate to us the need for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. First, as many of you know, this past week, we all experienced the plight of the polar vortex. We were all affected in one or another. Some areas of the state were left without heat because the natural gas was used up too fast for the gas company to be able to keep up with the demand. Did you remember that? Some people lost their heat in the polar vortex. The company couldn't keep up with the fuel. The regular system of connection to God, our connection to God is good, but when the demand gets great, God wants to supply us with an overwhelming abundance of fuel to keep the fire going, to keep the flame burning. All right? We're facing a polar vortex spiritually in this country. It's growing cold, and we need something more. We need the power. We need the supply of the Holy Spirit. There's a growing coldness. I think of it as a pilot light on our furnace. It's there. It's flickering. It's got a light going. It's alive. It's real. But it's not going to warm you up, is it? Maybe put your hand over it, maybe. The rest of your house might freeze. How do we get that light, that little spark, how do we get that to grow? It pours some fuel on it. And that furnace goes, it like gets hot. It starts, and you get the fan going, it pushes out all that hot air. It has to have fuel to grow. That's what God does. You got your flame, you're alive in God, but he wants to pour out an abundance of fuel into us and to flame us up in the things of God that we might have some heat for Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, I want to show another example of the Holy Spirit. I have a book here. Here it is. So this is a book from the Alpha Course. I don't know if any of you know about the Alpha Courses, and we'll probably have that starting here. It's a good basis for explaining the things of God to unbelievers and new Christians, and even Christians to learn about the basics of Christianity. But anyway, so in this book called Questions of Life, they talked about in this chapter on how can I be filled with the Holy Spirit. He talked about the Holy Spirit in another way to think about it, not just a flame in a furnace, but think about it this way. Thomas Goodwin, one of the Puritans of 300 years ago, illustrated this experience about the Holy Spirit, about the baptism. He said this. He pictured a man walking along a road hand in hand with his son. The little boy knows this man is his father and that his father loves him. But suddenly, the father stops, picks up the boy, lifts him up into his arms, embraces him, kisses him, and hugs him. Then he puts him down again, and they continue walking. It's a wonderful thing to be walking along holding your father's hand. But it's an incomparably greater thing to have his arms enfold around you. Don't you agree? That's the presence of the Holy Spirit. The baptism. It's God picking us up, putting us in his arms, kissing us and hugging us. He has embraced us, says Charles Spurgeon, and he pours his love upon us and he hugs us. Martin Lloyd-Jones quotes these examples, among many other, in his book on Romans, that comments on the experience of the Spirit. He says this, "Let us realize, then, the profound character of the experience. This is not light and superficial and ordinary. It is not something of which you can say, don't worry about your feelings. Worry about your feelings, you will have such a depth of feeling that for a moment you may well imagine that you have never felt anything in your life before. It is the profoundest experience a man can ever know." Praise God, the Holy Spirit, the presence of God, and knowing God's love and his power in our life is real. And I think about people that are at that Super Bowl game and their team scores a touchdown and they're throwing popcorn and beer and pop and Cracker Jack boxes are flying. And you know what? We don't think anything of that. Oh, but you get full of the Holy Ghost, and you sense the love of God, and you're on fire for Jesus, and you're stoked about God, and you're excited, and you're jumping, and you're clapping. People are like, "What is that? What a nutcase! Those guys, those are holy rollers, right? They're weirdos. I'd rather be a weirdo there." And be a fool for Christ than any football team. Who remembers who was even in the Super Bowl last year? Not too many. Who even cares? We're able to pass the baton on best when we are filled the most. How are you going to stand in this day and hour with all the opposition to the gospel? How are you going to know what to say in this day when the murdering of the unborn is accepted and celebrated? We're in a spiritual polar vortex. It's getting deathly cold in our nation. What do we do with a culture acceptance of sexually immoral lifestyles? We need the power of the Spirit that has been promised for every generation. Acts 2, Peter stood up. They were in a polar vortex in their day and in their hour. Jesus had just been crucified and rose again. They gave him a promise of the Holy Spirit. And in Acts 2, he came on him in power. And the presence of God was so powerful, they were speaking in tongues. It was a move of God. And the people in that around them said, "You guys are crazy. You bunch of drunks?" They were getting ridiculed for their excitement because Jesus had just now baptized them in the Holy Spirit. And Peter stood up, the wimpy, wampy one. The jelly belly one, all of a sudden got a backbone. In Acts 2, 38 and 39, he says this. Peter replied, "Each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of the Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins." So there's salvation, repentance, trusting in Christ, following through with baptism as a show of our salvation. Then he says this. This promise, he's talking about the Holy Spirit. He says, "I'm baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, forgive your sins." Then, he said, "you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." This promise is to you, to your children, and to those far away, all who have been called by the Lord our God. Then Peter continued preaching for a long time, strongly urging all his listeners, "Save yourselves from this crooked generation." Man, doesn't that sound like that could preach today? From a crooked generation. And it's crooked because you know what? Sin We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers in spiritually dark places. The people that are sinning, the people that are corrupt, the people that are broken, the people that are in bondage, those are not our enemy. Because we were like that. And we still struggle with things from our past. And we need Jesus. And we need the power of God. And they don't have it yet, but they can know it. And they can be set free. God loves them. He loves everybody just as much as he loves us. And we need that same love. We need the love of the Holy Spirit, don't we? We can get so hard, but when that love of God comes in, when the presence of God comes in, that power of God, that fuel, that's the love of God. And we need that love. We need the love of God in our heart. We need that presence of God in our spirit. We don't have it. We need it. We need to hunger for it. And Peter was saying to repent, get saved, be baptized because you're being be baptized as a result of being saved. All those things, then you receive the gift of the Spirit. So we all face situations in life. We all need the presence of God and the power. Maybe here today you're skeptical. That's okay. You don't need the baptism of the Spirit to be saved. But if you want to be able to minister with power and the working of the Holy Spirit in your life, this is for you. What better way to fulfill the call of God in your life than with the blessing and grace that God wants to give? So final example I want to give for the Holy Spirit. If God wants all people to be saved and God has decided to use us to get it done, don't you think God would give us the best he has? You think God's holding back? He's got something else that maybe work a little better? This is it. This is it, folks. The Holy Spirit, the baptism, it is God's best. And I had a picture of it. No reputable company would give their employees the cheapest tools available. That's some of the best cordless screw guns they have nowadays. Cordless drills. Them batteries last forever. You don't even have to plug them in anymore. It's nice. It goes, you can pick it up, you know, as long as the battery's charged, right? You can take it with you, and you can use it a lot. You can use it all day. And we used to do that. And then we plug them in at the end of the day. We take the battery out and plug it in so it's hard to charge up for the next day. And it was the latest and greatest. A company that is smart, that wants to be productive, that wants to make money, they're going to make sure the employees have the best tools possible. You ever know the company that doesn't provide the best tools? What happens? People are grumbling. Wow, how am I supposed to get anything done? This stupid tool is broken. Why can't they get me anything? This is stupid. Right? You ever been there? If you got a company that wants to make money, they're on their game, right? They're going from strength to strength. They're making a difference. They're making a profit. They're going to make sure the employees have the supply they need to get the job done. Do you think God is slacking? Do you think God yearns for souls? He does more than we do. God is saying, I got the stuff. I got the tools. I got the ability. You can have it. It's my best. God isn't holding back at all. What are we doing? We need to receive his best. We need to receive the baptism. We need to have that power of God in our life again. Praise God. Matthew 28:19. Jesus said, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this. I am with you always, even to the ends of the age. You and I are part of the end time family of God that will be instrumental in seeing the greatest harvest of souls for the kingdom of God. I'm going to have a quote, and I'm going to read this quote this morning, and we're almost done. It's from a pastor in that revival in Florida that's going on. I think it's in Orlando, and they have a revival going on, a move of God, power of God, people getting healed, hundreds getting healed, authentic healings. They don't even count them unless a doctor has tested them and make sure that it was authentic. He said this. The quote is this, and I read it a couple weeks ago. The quote is this. The level of outpouring you experience is directly connected with the level of surrender and truth you're willing to walk in with God. The level of outpouring you experience is directly connected with the level of surrender and truth you are willing to walk in with God. Let's find out what it takes to have that power in our life. And I was going to read a story, but I'm not going to have time. But God's power and spirit have been seen through the ages and through millenniums of the Church of Jesus Christ. The power of God, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is for today. And there are millions around the world that have experienced the blessing of the power of God in their life through something called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I want us to think about that this week, about that baptism. Think about it. Maybe you already have been baptized in the Holy Spirit. It's something we're going to talk about it some more next week. We're going to talk more about actually what it is, how to receive it, what the tongues is, the gifts of the Spirit, things like that. We're going to learn a little more so we can walk in it. But just think about that this week, that God has a gift for each one of us. And it's His presence, it's His power of the Holy Spirit in our life that equips us to be able to live out God's presence in our life in a powerful way. Wherever the Holy Spirit has been poured out, God has moved mightily in lives and hearts and souls. Supernatural. And we need that. We need that today. We need the supernatural power of God in our life.